Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, I beheld another beast. We had the first beast coming up out of the sea, coming up out of the earth. This is what the second beast does, comes up out of the earth. It's interesting to me that water and earth are part of what's called the elements of elemental witchcraft. Witches get together and they invoke the earth, the water, the fire, the air. They're opposites of one another. Just like the spring and autumn equinox, the summer and winter solstice, things like that, those all go along with earth, air, fire, and water. Paul told us back in Galatians that people are in bondage to the elements of this world. He uses the phrase witchcraft in the book of Galatians also as well. Is there a connection between one beast coming up out of the sea and the other one coming up out of the earth to witchcraft? I think there is. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but I think there is, because when these spirits, these elemental spirits, which are devils, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places, when these spirits are invoked, something comes up. Something rises up out of it, and that's what you see. Rising up out of the sea, rising up out of the earth. All right? So we're dealing with the false prophet. And believe it or not, elemental witchcraft exists in churches all over this country. It's hidden very well. It's very subtle, but it's there. Some people don't believe that, but I'm telling you, it's there. All right. If you know what to look for, you can spot it. We're looking at the idea of the false prophet, false doctrine, false prophets, false teachers that the Bible warns us about. And we had been in different places. We were in Deuteronomy 13. A false prophet rises, a dreamer of dreams, gives you a sign or a wonder, and it come to pass, and he says, let's go after these other gods. God said, don't do it. All right? And then in Deuteronomy 18, the Bible teaches us about the practices, the nine forbidden practices that God's people are not supposed to do, but we find them in the church. We find them being practiced and being done inside the church. There are false teachers who are bringing this stuff in. Their religion is not going to look like the religion of Bible Christianity. It's going to look like the religion of the Antichrist. And if you just study the Bible, you can see these things inside the church. In Deuteronomy 18 also, he gives you the sign, he gives you the promise of a real prophet. All right? In verse 15, if you want to know a false prophet, just compare him to the real one. All right? And the real one would be Jesus. His sure word of prophecy goes along with that. And so it's very simple. If you want to know a false prophet, match him up against Scripture. And if Scripture says one thing, they say another, it's over with. It's a false teacher, false prophet. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Now, it's capital P in your King James. I like that. Thank you, King James translators, for doing that. From the midst of thee, the woman of Samaria said, are you that prophet? Okay, she knew he was fulfillment. Prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. So he has to be of thy brethren. That's why Jesus was born of a Jew. He's like unto Moses in that Moses was a type or a shadow of Jesus, the real. My shadow always bears a resemblance to my real figure, but it's not the real me. I'm the real me. Okay? And that's who Moses was. He was only the shadow of the true image. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. I like the word hear is in the word hearken. It makes it simple. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Remember at the base of Mount Sinai, when God spoke, they finally went to Moses and said, Moses, go up there and tell him, don't ever do that again. It'll kill us. When we heard the voice of God, it made us very, very fearful. Moses, from now on, you go up to God, let God speak to you, and you come down, tell us what he said, and we'll believe you. So there, right there, was establishing the office of a mediator between God's people and God. So we have the establishment of the shadow of it. Now Christ is the real part of that. And he said, this is what you asked for in the day of assembly. And so what God is going to do is he's going to send you down the prophet, and he is going to be the mediator between you and God. Isn't that beautiful? And it wasn't the Virgin Mary either, or any of the saints. Jesus only. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet. God's good. From among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. That's what a prophet does. He takes the word of God, and it comes out of his mouth, not the words of man, but the word of God. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, the word hear is in there, will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So he's given us the real prophet is Jesus. It's the Bible. It's the word. Jesus is the Bible. Get over it. It's the word of God. My word, my Bible's not corruptible. Neither was Christ. They're one and the same. All right. I just get that in your mind, and it will help you discern false teachers and false prophets. If they say one, if they say God is this way and the Bible doesn't say it, they lied. Be careful. Even if they either maybe quote a part of Scripture, or let's say you're reading something and you see all these little scripture references. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go look them up. Because I've found one of the ways that false teachers get people to believe them is that they'll put a lot of scripture references out, and the lazy man will go, well, I guess the Bible says it in all those places. I guess it must be true. That's what the lazy man will do. The Berean, the diligent one, will go, wait a minute, he said that, and he gave all these places. I'm going to look all those up. You go look them all up, and you go, it doesn't say that. It never says that anywhere in the world. It doesn't say that. And even in the places that he told me to look, I looked. It's not there. It's a false, that's how you know a false teacher, okay? But he says here in Deuteronomy 18, if God sends this prophet, and we know him to be of God, we better listen to what he said. We better do and listen to what he said. Because if we don't hearken to him, or we hearken to some other prophet who presumes to speak in my name, he said, I'm going to get you for that one. So, let's see here. He says, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Verse 21, here's where it gets real. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet, it's a good question. God, if they're going to come down and lie to us, and they're going to be subtle about everything they do, how can we know the real from the fake? God, I mean, God, you told us this. We don't know what you know. We don't know everything you know. We can't see inside a person's heart and see whether it's pure or whether it's full of guile. God, we can't see that. We don't know. God, how can we know that that prophet is of you so we can follow him? How can we know? God says, I'll make it easy. All right? I'll make it real easy. Verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it, here's this word, presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, the prophet spoke it, presumed that it was God, but it wasn't God. How can we know? It didn't come to pass. The prophet has to have a 100% accuracy rate. He says, this is going to happen. There's going to be a sign tomorrow. This and that's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Facebook is full of false teachers, false prophets, who are presuming to say things. I read this, that I've reached my Facebook limit. People follow our ministry. Not everybody that follows our ministry am I on the same page with them, because I've seen some of their postings. Oh, God showed me a vision for America last night. Let me tell you what's going to happen to America. God showed me a vision of this or that and the other. Or I got a dream. Or I've got a word from the Lord. And they start writing all this stuff down. I have seen emails, Facebook postings, YouTube videos of all kinds of predictions, prophecies, the start of the New World Order. According to people on the internet, the New World Order should have started years ago, because they made predictions that it would. They made predictions that this event here was going to lead to martial law and military in the streets and tanks moving up and down your subdivision and all that. And it's nothing more than internet rumor. And here's the problem. You know, if you know me, you know this is a big issue with me. I think if we're going to say it, even if we don't initiate, even if the information didn't originate from us. Well, you know, I was reading this website I go to all the time, and they said that it was going to be this way. I think if we tell people that things are going to happen and it doesn't happen, those people, according to God, are to never listen to you ever again. You think about that. What was it? This comet Ison was supposed to come around the earth, and when it came back around, it was going to be revealed that it was a spaceship, and that spaceship was going to bring the aliens to earth, and it was going to initiate the New World Order. And you put that on your Facebook page, and you send it out in emails. And according to God, nobody is supposed to listen to you ever again. So here's what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be better for you to just quote scripture on your Facebook page or in your emails or whatever it is you send out to people? Wouldn't it be better if you just quote scripture and give it to them rather than the internet rumors that you say you believe? And I'm just trying to warn everybody. Yeah, but if you warn them 20 times about stuff that never happens, when the 21st thing comes around and it's real, they're not going to believe a word you said, and they're not going to believe it because of you. Not their own fault. It's your fault. You did it. So people, please, please, verify. Don't guess. Don't believe somebody else's guesses either. Don't try to figure out every little thing in the earth that happens and say, that's going to bring in martial law. No, no, this one really is going to bring in martial law. Oh, I see martial law coming now. Don't do that. People get tired of it. And God said, they don't have to believe you ever again. Wow. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And remember, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. People, be warned, okay? Be warned. If God didn't say it, don't repeat it. But if God did say it, tell everybody what's going on. Now, here's something interesting. He uses the word presume here twice. In verse 20, which shall presume to speak a word in my name. And then in verse 22, that prophet has spoken presumptuously. That same word. Is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude are complementary passages that deal with false prophets and how to identify them. 2 Peter 2:10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government. That's something else you need to pay attention to in your Facebook posts and your emails. You're not to despise government. Oh, listen, you don't have to tell me that a lot of things in the federal government of the United States of America are evil and corrupt. You don't have to tell me that. But as a rule, God's people are not to despise government. Presumptuous. There it is right there. The false teachers are presumptuous, and that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 18, in that they speak things that don't come to pass. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. You know what I think? I think some people, let me give you an example. This guy came up with these Illuminati card game. Remember that? And one of them had the Tower of Big Ben in London exploding. Okay? It was a game this guy came up with. And you thought that the 2012 Olympics, there were going to be mass casualties, 100,000 people being killed in London during the Olympics. That's what that card meant. Yeah. I honestly think that some of the people who spread that information around actually wanted 100,000 people to be killed in London instead of being shown to be wrong and an idiot. Self-willed. You're not helping God any. You say, well, I'm just trying to warn everybody about the New World Order. Let me tell you something. According to the Bible, you're the one helping to bring it in. You're presumptuous. God never said it. You're self-willed. You want these little scary prophecies to come to pass so it makes you look right and good. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Listen, I love people. I love you. But I love the truth more. And I want the truth for me. I know the truth's hard to deal with, especially when it's personal. I deal with the truth all the time. I don't like it. But the truth is all we've got. And if you're out spreading false rumors and internet innuendos and false flags and martial laws coming with this event, and this is staged so they can bring in posse comitatus and martial law and troops in the street. If you're spreading that stuff around, and you've been doing it ever since you've been on the internet, and it hadn't happened yet, nobody listens to you anymore. And God told them not to. Okay? Just give them, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Just give people, thus saith the Lord, and you can escape all this. Listen, I don't think everything I've said is true. Okay? I don't. There is no way in the world one man can be right about everything. It's not possible. God, in fact, God won't allow it. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so I'm just telling you, this is what happens. All right? Now, when he said earlier, let me show you something. It's almost like this episode of the Pure Bible Study is, you're the false prophet. Okay? Back in Deuteronomy 18, God said, when they presume to speak a word and I didn't speak it, that prophet shall die. You think God meant what he said? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings. Okay? 1 Kings. There's a story here, and it's a long story, so I won't give you every tiny little detail. But it's about a prophet. It's about a prophet who God sent to deliver a message. Think of a preacher. Think of an evangelist. Think of a ministry. Think of yourself. You trying to warn people about what's coming. All right? You might think you're doing the Lord's work, but listen. When God says that it's to be this way, he means it. Because I'm telling you, God's going to take... There are a tractor trailer load full of false prophets out there. And one of these days, God's going to get them. He is going to get them. God never puts it, I believe, in your hands. Well, I'm going to expose Kenneth Copeland for who he is, and I'm going to bring his ministry down. No, you're not. No, you're not. I mean, you help warn people. I get that. The only person that's going to bring him down is God, and I'll show you how he does it. Okay? I want you to think of this being you. Don't apply it to anybody else, but I want you to think of it as this being you. Okay? And me. We're warned by God to make sure that it's thus saith the Lord. And if it's not thus saith the Lord, we run a risk of being found untrue and people won't listen to us anymore. All right? First Kings chapter 13, and here's another 13 passage in the Bible. Deuteronomy 13, First Kings 13, Acts 13, Revelation 13, Genesis 13. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried, this is the man of God, he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. Now he's given the word of the Lord, all right? He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So now we skip down to verse 7. Like I say, you can read the details later. The king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So in other words, the king thought he could buy this guy off, get him to change his prophecy, I guess. So he says, come in. I've got food here, got warmth here. You can spend the night here. I'm going to treat you good after. I treat the men of God good. Now, I take care of my pastor. I take care of my people. But better watch these people that are funding the ministry. People in churches that are using money. I have a friend of mine that just left a church because a man in that church was laundering money through the church accounts. And that man had power in that church. And when he was confronted by the pastor, the man just said, I thought you was smart. Why don't you just take the money that we pay you? We pay you pretty good. Why don't you just take the money and keep your mouth shut? That's what the man told him. And here is, who is this? Jeroboam. Come on in. I'll take good care of you. In fact, I could make you a house prophet here. How about that, huh? Think about it. You can live in my palace, eat all my bread, huh? Okay. Got some ladies out here. We won't say a word. He offers that to the prophet. And the man of God, he was told by the word of the Lord, saying, don't eat no bread. Don't drink any water. Don't even go out the same way you came in. And I mean it. So he starts out another way. But now the prophet is going to get a new revelation from God. Watch this. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. Their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. He said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, the young prophet, he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Now I want you to get this. This young man was told by his Bible, this is how it is. The Bible, the word of the Lord is your Bible. Your Bible says, this is how it is. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left from it. Keep that straight and narrow road with that understanding that if my Bible says it, it's true. If my Bible doesn't say it, it's not true. If man says what the Bible really means is this, don't believe that one either. God does not have a problem with how he says things. He means exactly what he says. Just trust the words that are in this book, not somebody's concepts and themes that they come up with. Oh, this is what it really means here. Trust the words that are in this book. And if the words don't match up with some other guy's words, you don't trust it. But this young prophet is fixing to learn a lesson. It's going to cost him his life. Because after saying, my Bible says it's this way, he believes the old prophet's got a new revelation from God. Which, by the way, probably sounds real good to his flesh right about now. So he says in verse 18, I'm a prophet as thou art. You ever heard that one before? Well, we worship the same God, don't we? In fact, I was just with Rick Warren the other day at the Chrislam conference where they're melding Islam. They all worship the same God as we do, too. I'm a prophet as thou also art. And an angel spoke unto me by the way, an angel. Paul said in Galatians, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. The young man, upon hearing that an angel came down to this old prophet and told him something, the young man should have jumped up and said, you're the devil. I know what God told me. I know what his word says. There's no way in the world I'm following you. Okay? You watch this. I'm a prophet as also as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. See, the young prophet, his flesh said, yeah, that's the word of the Lord, man. Come on, you're hungry, you're thirsty, sounds good. I mean, after all, God doesn't want you to die of starvation. You know, these little tricks our flesh plays with us, right? Man. God had told the young man, don't. And let me tell you something. God does not alter the thing that comes out of his mouth. Not for you, not for me, not for anybody. Don't let anybody tell you, well, that was written for the Jews. That's not for us. That's written for the Jews back then. That's written where it says, you know, thou shalt not have a woman speak. That wasn't for us. That was for some other people that Paul knew. There's some crazy people. He didn't want the women. The women were treated like property back then, and he knew it would embarrass everybody, so he said, let the women keep silent. But, you know, we're away from that now, and even though the Bible still says that, that doesn't mean that's for us. That's for somebody else. Well, I mean, how do I know that? Because my wife got the anointing the same night I did, and she prophesied, and I'll tell you what, my wife really, boy, she's a good preacher. It's not what your Bible says. These people are lying through their teeth. They're trying to get you to follow their pernicious ways. And this sounds good to your flesh, because I promise you, you're gonna get to keep all the sins that you do and still think God's okay with it. He's not. And God had already said, if he presumes to speak a word in my name, I kill him. You think about it. So he went back with him and ate and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Now look at verse 20. We're going to release the lions. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto that prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. It came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way. You know who that lion is, don't you? God turned him over to the lion. Be sober, people. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God turned this young prophet over to the lion. I've prayed, God, please. Don't turn me over to the lion. God, please, I don't want to get this wrong. God, I don't want to handle your word deceitfully. God, I don't want to tell people things that are not true. God, I know my old wicked heart is just full of guile and deceit. But God, I don't want to deceive your people. I want to tell the truth. Now, again, I'm going to say, no man has the ability to say all, everything that's true. There's no way that I can be right 100% of the time. God won't allow me to. Why? So that you'll know that there's a difference between me and what's in this book. You go to this book. If I said it and it ain't right, go to the book. Or God will turn you over to a lion. He'll release the lion to you. So anyway, the lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and then the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. When the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion." See it? There it is right there. People, if you're going to put it out on Facebook or emails or whatever, make sure it's right. Make sure it does not contradict the word of God. "God hath turned him, delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him." What's interesting, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 30, here's what God said, "In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion." There it is. There's a match right there. Here is these two places mated together, all right? There's two witnesses saying the same thing. God's going to send a destroying lion after the prophets who presume to prophesy in the name of God, and yet they don't say what God said. By the way, I've skipped something. I got to go back and give you this. Okay? Back in Deuteronomy 18. "How shall we know the Lord? How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh the name of the Lord, and a thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken." The accuracy rate for a prophet of God was 100%. If it was 99%, if it was 99 prophecies out of 100 that he was right on, he's a liar. God is showing you that he's a liar. God is showing you that he's not really the sure prophet of God. The same thing applies to the Bible translation issue. If my Bible, which Peter said was a sure word of prophecy, if my Bible does not qualify under the guidelines that God himself set forth, then it is to be rejected by me as a whole, and I'm to look elsewhere for what the Bible says or what God says. You follow me on this? I cannot and am not allowed to believe that my Bible has one mistake in it. Because if I thought my Bible had a mistake in it, according to Deuteronomy 18, I don't have to heed anything my Bible says. When somebody tells you all the translations have mistakes in it, what verse is that? Show me where that doctrine comes from out of the Bible. It doesn't exist in the Scriptures, except practically every other Bible does have mistakes in it, except one. That's how we know that it's the Word of God and the rest of them aren't. The Bible cannot be wrong once. It cannot be improperly translated. It cannot be something omitted or something added to it. There cannot be a true discrepancy between Kings and Chronicles. There are make-believe ones. There are no true ones. Do I know how to answer every one of them? No. But rule number one in Mike Hoggard's life is there are no mistakes in the Bible. Deuteronomy 18 says there aren't. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 says it's incorruptible. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, shall not pass away." So I have three things in the Bible telling me that my Bible cannot ever have a mistake in it. It cannot ever be wrong. So rule number one is there are no mistakes in the Bible. Rule number two, if someone approaches me and says, "There, I think there's a mistake in the King James Bible," I go, "No, I'm sorry. Rule number one says there are no mistakes in the Bible." Rule number one, no mistakes. Rule number two, someone said they found a mistake, please refer back to rule number one. There are no mistakes in the Bible. There are. There are stumbling block or stumbling stone passages in the Bible. Let me show you what I mean by that. 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming, verse 4, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore that which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, here in these verses here, it's telling you the Bible's precious. It's the elect stone of God. It is the stone which the builders rejected. That's what the denominations rejected and the Bible colleges rejected and the youth ministry conference, it's the one they rejected. But you, to you it's precious, but to them it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense because they're disobedient already. They didn't want to believe that any Bible was right, so therefore they didn't look to see if it was right. They just presumed that it was wrong. I went to a debate back when I was on the side of the other translations. I went to a debate and a guy was saying, he was debating against the King James. And he said, if you say you're King James only, which King James Bible do you believe in? The 1611 or the 1620 or the 1659 or the 1729 edition? Because they're all different. And I went, yeah, they're all different, man, you bunch of idiots, King James only people. I did. I was so full of hatred for the King James Bible. I didn't know that that esteemed doctor heard that information and never bothered to look it up. Never bothered to check to see whether it was true or not. You see, to him, he had already decided that the King James was wrong, so he rejected it. But it's the very stone that is the foundation stone of everything that I believe. And God brought me around to that. Thank God. By the way, not only can you get a copy of the 1611 King James Bible and read it for yourself, the, 1850, there's a publication put out by the American Bible. Yeah, I said 1850. There's a book on Google Books. Can't remember what it's called, but it's, I've referenced it in one of the videos. Which Bible? You be the judge. And I show in there that the American Bible Society actually did the study in 1850. To see whether or not the 1611 was actually different than the Bible that they had at that time. They went through everything they could find and they reported back and they said other than spelling and typographical errors, the words that were printed in 1611 are the same words that we preach now. Same Bible. They made printing mistakes. They didn't spell things the same way we do. But they said other than that, it's the same Bible. And it's a stone that the builders are rejecting right now. And if you think that there's mistakes in the Bible, God allowed you to stumble over the very thing that you were looking for to begin with. But anyway, so the rule is, according to Deuteronomy 18, if somebody says, I'm going to be using the NIV. Now, it's not the best translation, but I like what it says here. There's a lion coming. There's a lion on its way. I'm going to stop right here. I got a lot of other things to. We're going to go through. We're going to 1 Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. There's many, many things in what they call the major prophets, and they call them that because of the length of the books. Isaiah, 66 books. Jeremiah, 52 books, I think. Lamentations got a few there, six of them, I think. Ezekiel's in the 40s, okay? And then after that, it goes down. Joel's got three chapters. You know, Obadiah's got, you know, the one, okay? But anyway, in the major prophets, there's a ton of stuff on how to identify false prophets. And it's actually just very simple. If they said it, and it's not in here, they're a liar, okay? And to you, here's the title of today's Pure Bible Study, and I didn't think about this till we started. you're the false prophet. Or maybe I should say, don't be the false prophet. Don't be that. Okay? I've had to go back and apologize to people for things I said that was wrong. It's hard to do. I ain't kidding you. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But I promise you, God will make you free if you will. And if you've been one of those people that send out every kind of stupid stuff that came along, conspiracy-oriented, and none of them turned out to be true, you might have adopted the attitude, well, I'd rather be wrong a million times and then be right that one time. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Even in their common sense, people are not going to believe you anymore. You're wasting your time. A boy employed to guard the sheep despised his work. He liked to sleep. And when a lamb was lost, he would shout, wolf, wolf, the wolves are all about. The neighbors searched from noon till nine, but of the beast there was no sign. Yet, wolf, he cried next morning when the neighbors came out again. One evening about 6 o'clock, a real wolf fell upon the flock. Wolf, yelled the boy, a wolf indeed. But no one paid him any heed. Although he screamed to wake the dead, he's fooled us every time, they said, and let the hungry wolf enjoy his feast of mutton, lamb, and boy. The moral's this, the man who's wise will not defend himself with lies. Liars are not believed, forsooth, even when liars tell the truth. I learned that poem in 7th grade at a Christian academy. Stuck with me all my life. And you think you're doing a service by trying to warn everybody. And you use the word false flag about every other thing that you put out there. But the truth of it is, it's your flag that's false. Don't be the false prophet. Don't be it. Stick with the Word of God. Tell people what the Bible says. It'll never be wrong. And God will use that to bring people to the knowledge of the truth. All right? Hey, I love you. I do. This is as much for me as it is you, okay? It is a struggle, a strife, that the content that I put out, Pure Bible Study, sermons, Watchman broadcast, PMO, whatever it is, it's a struggle sometimes to make sure that I'm telling it right. But I will be the first to tell you, if you hear something and you say it didn't sound right, I'm going to go ask God to show me in the Bible whether it is or not. That's all I want you to do, okay? Go to the Bible. I love you. You pray for me, I'll pray for you, all right? Maybe God will use us filthy, nasty, dirty sinners to spread around his incorruptible word, all right? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.